Welcome to the deep dive. We're here to cut through the noise, look at your sources, and pull out the strategic takeaways. Today, we're tackling maybe one of the most critical choices for a growing business, nailing down the right tech foundation for custom applications that need to scale.
Yeah, we've been looking at sources aimed squarely at small and medium businesses, SMBs, you know, those thinking long-term, not just quick band-aids. And there's a really strong consensus emerging around a specific stack as the current standard for those core mission-critical systems.
That's right. It's .NET 8 on the back end, paired with React for the front end. And our job today, really, is to unpack why. Why is this combination delivering such strong results? We're talking faster development, yeah, but also lower operational costs, better scalability, and crucially, why custom software built this way often wins out against off-the-shelf options. It's about long-term control. Okay, let's start with the back end then, where the heavy lifting happens. .NET. For a while, it felt like this massive, maybe slow, enterprise-only thing, but the sources are all talking about a huge transformation with .NET 8. So if I'm a business owner or maybe an investor, what's the single biggest win I get from choosing .NET today?
It really comes down to risk reduction. And that's delivered through this concept of the unified platform. Hmm. See, historically, if you built a web API and then later thought, oh, we need an internal desktop tool or maybe a mobile service, you often had to bring in, well, entirely separate teams, different frameworks. It got messy.
Right. Different skills, different code bases.
Exactly. .NET 8 changes that fundamental game. It gives you a single consistent framework to build all those things, web APIs, desktop, mobile, cloud services. So you're not betting the farm on some niche technology. Your developers use the same knowledge, same tools, pretty much the same structure across the board.
Ah, okay. I can immediately see the benefit there. Less training needed. Developers aren't constantly switching mental gears.
Mm-hmm.
That has to mean cheaper, faster development cycles.
Precisely.
But, you know, software like this, it's a major long-term asset. We need stability. What about protecting that investment? What assurances do the sources offer?
That's absolutely critical. I mean, we're talking custom builds costing tens, sometimes hundreds of thousands, maybe more. You need it to last. And that's where the long-term support, the LTS designation for .NET 8, is just so important.
LTS. Okay, unpack that a bit.
Think of it like buying a really high-end appliance with a solid manufacturer's warranty. Microsoft guarantees 3 full years of comprehensive support for LTS releases. That means security updates, critical bug fixes, performance patches, everything you need to keep the foundation secure and running smoothly. It protects your investment against just, you know, becoming obsolete in a year or two. You're not left stranded.
Okay, that's a very powerful guarantee. So stability is covered. Let's talk operational efficiency. Hosting costs, performance, these are huge factors for SMBs. Does .NET 8's performance genuinely lead to lower hosting bills as you grow?
It absolutely does. The sources are very clear on this. .NET 8 offers, well, exceptional throughput, really strong raw performance. In simple terms, a single server running .NET 8 can handle significantly more users, process more data than many, many other technologies out there.
So connect the dots from my wallet. What does that mean practically?
It means that efficiency translates directly into cost control, right? If some other platform needs, say, 10 servers to handle your peak load, maybe a well-optimized .NET 8 application only needs 4. Your cloud hosting bills are just dramatically lower from the start, and they scale much more predictably as your user base grows. It turns technical capability into, well, a financial advantage.
And that efficiency, it's not just server costs. It's also about employee time, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. We saw clear examples in the sources. Think about complex tasks, generating a big financial report, running some intricate workflow calculation, stuff that might take minutes, literally minutes, in older or less performant systems, can often complete in just a few seconds with .NET 8.
Oh.
Yeah. And you multiply those saved minutes across, you know, dozens or hundreds of employees every single day. Mm-hmm. The productivity gain, the ROI, it becomes quite staggering.
Okay. And shifting gears slightly, but still crucial, security, especially for business apps.
Mm-hmm.
Is .NET giving us a basic starter kit, or is this serious enterprise-grade security built in?
It's definitely baked in, and that's essential. You're not trying to bolt on security layers after the fact. .NET 8 comes with robust, proven systems for authentication, authorization frameworks to control exactly who can access what, and built-in protection against common threats, things like SQL injection, cross-site scripting, you know, the usual suspects.
So it handles the basics securely out of the box.
Yes, and the tooling around it, like Visual Studio or VS Code, is designed to help developers catch security flaws early in the process. Integrated debugging, profiling, It saves enormous headaches later on.
Okay, that covers the backend foundation pretty well. Let's pivot to the front end, the user interface. This is what your team, your customers, actually see and touch. The sources point very strongly to React as the top choice here. Why React specifically for these often data-heavy business apps, the ones full of forms, tables, dashboards?
Right. Business applications, they thrive on consistency, don't they? And efficient data display. React's, well, its superpower is this component-based architecture. Think of it like having a box of digital Lego bricks, really well-defined bricks.
Okay.
So instead of coding every single input field or every button or every data grid from scratch every time, developers build reusable components. They define how a specific type of button looks and behaves once, and then they can just drop that standardized, consistent component anywhere it's needed in the application.
I see. So for you listening, the big takeaway is component reuse. It speeds up the initial build, obviously, but the real win might be maintenance, right?
Exactly that. Maintenance becomes so much simpler. Let's say you need to update the validation style on all required fields across the entire application. With components, you change that rule inside the relevant component just once. And boom, it automatically updates across maybe 50 different screens where that component is used. No hunting down every instance.
That saves a massive amount of time and reduces errors.
Minimizes inconsistencies, slashes bugs, makes large updates feasible in, you know, days instead of dragging on for months.
But what about the user experience? Speed. Nothing kills productivity faster than a sluggish interface. Especially with complex data like a real-time dashboard or a big inventory list.
Yeah.
How does React keep things feeling fast?
Yeah, that lag is frustrating. React tackles this with something called the Virtual DOM. Now, this is a bit technical, but the payoff for the user is huge.
Okay, Virtual DOM, what does it do?
Basically, when data changes in your application, maybe a number updates in a huge table, a naive system might redraw the entire screen. That's slow and feels clunky. React is smarter. It keeps a lightweight copy of the UI structure in memory. That's the virtual DOM. When data changes, React compares the new state to the old virtual DOM, figures out the absolute minimum set of changes needed on the actual screen.
Ah, so it only updates that one tiny number in the table, not the whole table or the whole page.
Precisely. It makes incredibly targeted, efficient updates to the real screen. That's what keeps the interface feeling snappy, modern, and responsive, even with lots of data flying around. It prevents that horrible stuck feeling.
Okay, that makes sense. Now let's tie the backend .NET and the frontend React together. This combination, the sources say, naturally encourages teams towards an API-first or RESTful architecture. Why is that specific architectural pattern a strategic advantage for a business?
Look, this is all about future-proofing and flexibility. API first means your .NET backend acts like the central brain. It holds all the business logic, all the data access rules. But, crucially, it doesn't really care how that data is presented. It communicates through clean, standardized interfaces, the APIs.
And the strategic benefit of that separation.
It's huge. Let's say next year you decide you need a mobile app for your field sales team. Because you have that clean API layer.
You don't need to rebuild the core business logic.
The new mobile app just plugs into the existing .NET APIs. It consumes the same data, follows the same rules. You only pay to build the new mobile interface itself, not rewrite the entire backend engine again.
That protects the initial investment significantly.
Massively. It makes adding new channels or integrating with partners much, much easier and cheaper down the road.
And the sources mentioned something subtle. A benefit for developers using C# on the back end and TypeScript with React on the front end.
Yeah, it's a nice bonus. While C# and TypeScript are different languages, they share a similar feel, a similar philosophy. Both strongly emphasize structure, predictability, static typing. So a developer switching between writing backend logic in C# and front-end UI in TypeScript isn't experiencing like total mental whiplash. The paradigms are related.
Less cognitive load, basically.
Right, which just means smoother development, fewer silly integration mistakes, faster debugging when things do go wrong. It all adds up.
Okay, we've established this stack is technically very sound. But now for the big strategic question, the elephant in the room, perhaps. Wait a minute. We heard potential costs. $150K for simpler apps, easily $400K, maybe even over $1 million for complex enterprise systems. Are the sources really saying the ROI from custom software justifies potentially walking away from seemingly cheaper, established, off-the-shelf subscription software?
That is absolutely the core tension, isn't it? And yes, the sources are quite definitive on this. The fundamental problem with generic off-the-shelf software is that it forces your unique business processes into its predefined template. They call it the lowest common denominator effect.
Explain that.
Okay. Imagine your company had a really specific, highly efficient quality control workflow that gives you a real edge in manufacturing. Generic software probably won't support that exact process. So what happens? Your team starts using clumsy workarounds, maybe manual spreadsheets on the side or emailing files back and forth. That friction, those workarounds, they erode the very competitive advantage your unique process provided.
Ah, so custom software eliminates that friction because it's built precisely around your unique workflow, not the other way around.
Exactly. It automates your process, preserving and even enhancing your competitive edge.
Which means if my competitor and I both use the same generic CRM, neither of us can really use that software as a strategic differentiator.
Yeah.
But if I build custom,
then your technology becomes a competitive weapon, not just an administrative cost. Think about a custom CRM again. If your system can automatically score and prioritize leads using a proprietary algorithm that reflects your market better than any generic tool,
then my sales team is inherently faster and more effective than the competition using the standard tool.
Precisely. Generic tools simply can't offer that level of tailored automation that becomes your secret sauce.
Let's talk about another pain point I hear constantly with off-the-shelf stuff. Vendor constraints.
Mm-hmm.
Licensing, integrations.
Ah, the constraints can be absolutely brutal and often unpredictable. With custom software, scalability is purely a technical question. Can my servers handle the load? With commercial software, you hit these artificial vendor walls all the time. Per-user license fees that suddenly explode when you hire more people. Arbitrary limits on transactions or data storage that force you into much more expensive tiers. Extra charges just to connect to another system you already use.
It feels like you're constantly penalized for growing.
It can feel that way. Custom software eliminates that dependency. You own the code base. You own the data. You control the roadmap, the security policies, and the pricing model, which is basically just your predictable hosting costs, not some vendor shifting P&L targets.
And that .NET backend is key here too, ensuring integration freedom.
It really is. Unlike closed ecosystems that try to lock you into their specific, often expensive connectors, a custom .NET backend is designed from the ground up to talk to anything. Need to connect to an old legacy database? Fine, a modern third-party API, no problem. Weird file formats from an industry partner? You can build that connector. You're not locked into a vendor's limited integration menu.
Okay, so let's make this really concrete. Where does this .NET and React combination really flex its muscles? What kind of applications are the perfect fit?
Yeah, the sources gave some great typical examples. Think about bespoke financial and accounting apps, places where you need incredibly high accuracy, specific compliance reporting, tight security that goes beyond generic offerings.
Right, things tailored to very specific industry regulations.
Exactly. Or think about sterilized project management tools. Maybe you need very distinct dashboards. One detailed view for the project manager, a much simpler high-level view for the client, and maybe a roll-up summary for executives. Custom lets you build exactly those views, and of course, those custom CRMs we keep mentioning, where your unique sales methodology, your qualification stages, your customer scoring, it's all built right into the software's core workflow, not forced into some generic sales pipeline model.
That makes sense. But for many businesses listening, especially established SMBs, they're not starting with a blank slate. They've got legacy systems, maybe old, clunky, but still running critical parts of the business. They can't just flip a switch overnight. How does this modern .NET Triac stack help with that legacy modernization challenge?
This is actually one of its most powerful, commercially attractive aspects. It supports incremental migration. It allows for a much less risky phased approach to modernization.
Okay, how does that work practically? You don't just rip and replace everything.
No, absolutely not. That's often too disruptive. Instead, you can keep that old, maybe slightly ugly, but mission-critical legacy backend running for a while. Then you introduce a brand new, modern, responsive React frontend. Initially, this new interface might just pull data from the existing legacy system via some intermediate layer or direct connection.
So users get a better experience immediately, even if the old engine is still humming away underneath.
Exactly. User satisfaction goes up. Then phase two begins. You start building new, clean .NET APIs. these APIs gradually expose functionality from the old system or even start replacing pieces of the old backend logic one service at a time.
Ah, so it's like building a new bridge alongside the old one and slowly diverting traffic. You protect the existing investment while gradually shifting to the modern infrastructure over time.
That's a great analogy. It minimizes operational shock. You modernize piece by piece, validating as you go. And of course, both .NET and React are built with cloud deployment in mind. Moving to Azure, AWS, or other clouds is generally much smoother than trying to lift and shift old monolithic on-premise systems. That simplifies infrastructure, disaster recovery, everything.
Okay, we touched on cost earlier. Let's just circle back and confirm the ROI picture from the sources. If a business invests, let's say, $500,000 in a significant custom application, how quickly should they realistically expect to see a return?
Yeah, the sources generally suggest a payback period within a pretty reasonable window, typically 2 to 4 years.
And where does that ROI come from?
It comes from tangible places. Increased operational efficiency, remember those minutes saved per employee, scaled up. Reduced costs from consolidating maybe multiple overlapping or disconnected systems into one integrated platform. And also measurable improvements in things like customer satisfaction, maybe faster response times, fewer errors, things that lead to better retention or more sales. It's about reducing friction across the board. And that friction has real costs.
That's a compelling case. So, wrapping up our deep dive here,
yeah,
the .NET 8 and React stack seems to deliver more than just technical prowess. It offers genuine strategic business control. We're talking cost predictability through that raw performance and efficiency, long-term stability thanks to LTS, and the architectural flexibility you need to adapt and grow without being locked in.
Absolutely. And maybe just one final quick but important point on security. While .NET 8 provides an incredibly strong foundation, built-in support for things like multi-factor authentication, encryption tools, vulnerability protection security is never done. The tech gives you a massive head start, like strong castle walls, but ongoing vigilance, secure coding practices, regular security testing, that's still essential to keep pace with threats. The foundation is solid, but you still need guards on the walls.
Excellent point. A strong start, but not a replacement for diligence. Okay, fantastic insight today. And here's that final provocative thought for you, the listener, building on what we've heard. Our sources really emphasize that choosing mainstream, well-supported tech like .NET and React avoids vendor lock-in. It means if you ever need to switch development partners, there's a large pool of talent available. That ensures real business continuity. So, thinking about your own operations right now, what specific part, maybe a clunky manual process, a limitation forced on you by a generic template, or a frustrating vendor constraint, could be most immediately transformed if you own the technology foundation itself, instead of just renting it or owning only the data within it? Where could owning the tech unlock a competitive advantage you might currently be leaving on the table? Something to think about. Thanks for diving deep with us today. We'll catch you on the next one.